Letters from Home, a podcast from the St. Paul Center.
Raising teens and young adults can be a unique time that many are unprepared for. In Legacy of Love, Biblical Wisdom for Parenting Teens and Young Adults, Kimberly Hahn draws from Proverbs 31 to help families navigate the transition from childhood to adulthood. Learn more at stpaulcenter.com.
Hi there, this is Dr. John Bergsma from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and the Franciscan University of Steubenville, coming to you on this Friday of the fourth week of Advent. Boy, we are getting so close. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve, so this is Christmas Eve Eve today, something like that. This is the anti-penultimate day, not just the penultimate day. But I won't go into all that. But the point is, Christmas is getting really close. Really, really, really close. Hope you've got all your shopping done. But look at these readings. Malachi 3. This is awesome. Let me step back and give a little background here. You know, Christmas is focused on Jesus, the coming Messiah. But, you know, there were groups of Jews who were expecting two Messiahs. You may know that I speak and have written a lot about the Dead Sea Scrolls, and the Dead Sea Scrolls were left to us by a Jewish movement called the Essenes. They were similar in size to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they were a competing politico-religious movement to those other two groups that I mentioned. And the Essenes, there were a lot of them, a lot of Essene Jews, and they were waiting for two Messiahs, a priestly Messiah and a royal Messiah. And that's not completely off base, because there are several passages of Scripture, including Jeremiah 33, verses 15 to the end, basically, and also parts of Zechariah, that would lead you to expect a priestly and a royal Messiah, one from the line of Levi and one from the line of David. And I don't think that's completely wrong. I think that John the Baptist really was the priestly Messiah, so to speak, that was expected by the ancient prophets and by the Essenes. And this Friday, the fourth week of Advent, we rarely get a Friday in the fourth week of Advent, but we got a full fourth week of Advent this year, really focuses on John the Baptist and on his birth in the gospel. But leading up to that, we have this first reading that says, "Thus says the Lord God, lo, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me." Now that's God speaking. We could say that's almost Jesus speaking, and the messenger who's going to prepare the way, that would be John the Baptist. "And suddenly there will come to the temple the Lord whom you seek, and the messenger of the covenant whom you desire. Yes, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts, but who will endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like the refiner's fire, or like the fuller's lye. He will sit refining and purifying silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, refining them like gold or silver, that they may offer due sacrifice to the Lord." So this is about the purification of the priesthood, the sons of Levi. And John the Baptist represents the perfect embodiment of the sons of Levi. He is this pure soul, this sinless soul, descended from the sons of Levi, who is perfectly prepared to introduce to the world the royal Messiah by being his herald and his precursor. And then this passage goes on and says, "I will send you Elijah the prophet before the day of the Lord comes." And of course, we know that this is also speaking of John the Baptist. Not only was he a priest, a son of Levi, through his father Zechariah, but John was also the spiritual Elijah spoken of not only here, but in other passages of the Old Testament as well. John dressed like Elijah, wearing a hair garment and a leather belt, just like Elijah did, evoking Elijah's memory. He also ministered down where Elijah did, that stretch of the Jordan down by Jericho, where John did most of his baptizing, was the place where Elijah parted the Jordan River and walked across on the last day of his life before he was taken up into the whirlwind. So that was the part of the Jordan River associated with Elijah's ministry, and John ministered there. Okay, so this first reading from Malachi speaks of both the priestly and the prophetic roles of John the Baptist. You know, the church and the scriptures are really trying to tell us that John the Baptist is a really important person, and he should function more importantly in our devotion and our prayer than he typically does nowadays. Now, in the early church, John the Baptist is very important, but he's kind of lost ground in recent years to other figures that claim our affection, like St. Joseph or St. Teresa of Lisieux, etc. But we really need to dust off our Baptist piety, our devotion to John the Baptist, and refresh that, because he is a really important person. And our gospel reading is about his birth. When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, we read from Luke 1:57, she gave birth to a son. Neighbors and relatives heard. The Lord had shown this great mercy. They rejoiced. Came on the eighth day to circumcise a child. They're going to name him Zachariah after his father. Elizabeth says, no, we're going to call him John. Said, hey, that's not a traditional name in your family. So they give a tablet to Zachariah. Zachariah writes out John is his name. And then Zachariah's mouth is opened and he begins to bless God. And then fear falls on everyone and they take these matters to heart, saying, what then will this child be? Surely the hand of the Lord is with him. So they name him John, J-O-H-N, and this is a Hebrew name that has come into Greek and Latin. Other forms are Johannes, that's a fuller form in Greek and Latin, or Johann. It comes from the Hebrew Yahain. Yah is the shortened form of the name of the Lord, and Hain means grace. The feminine form of this would be Chena or Hannah, which means is just a Hebrew name meaning grace. So the grace of the Lord is what the name John means. And among other things, this references the fact that although John was not full of grace from the moment of his conception, like the Blessed Mother, he was filled with grace from the point that he leapt in the womb. At least that's the commonly accepted tradition within the church, that when he heard the voice of the Blessed Mother and leapt, that he was cleansed of sin in the womb and filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. And thereafter, he always had the grace of the Lord, because grace comes from the Holy Spirit. So John did a wonderful ministry as a priest and a prophet who went before the king. And in ancient Israel, the priest, the reigning priest and the reigning prophet would come together, and together they would anoint the king before he began his reign. And that's precisely what John does at the baptism of our Lord. That's a feast we're going to celebrate on January 9th in a few weeks. That's where John officiates as priest and prophet when he anoints Jesus, the king, with not oil, but with the Holy Spirit in the waters of the Jordan. And he passes the baton at that point, so to speak, on to Jesus, the one greater than him, the one whose sandals he is not worthy to untie. Well, you know what? As baptized Christians, we have a priestly and a prophetic role, just like John the Baptist did. We are full of the Holy Spirit, even as he was, provided we do not commit mortal sin. And you can read about our priestly and prophetic role in the Catechism, paragraphs 900 through 909. And that calls us to make our lives a daily sacrifice for all the intentions of our friends and relatives, and for the Holy Father, and for the Blessed Mother's intentions for the church around the world. And that priestly and prophetic role leads us also to speak the word of God to those around us and into society, and to stand for what is right and true, and to stand for the gospel. And John the Baptist sets us a fantastic example in all of this, witnessing as he did to the truth of God's word, even to the point of death, a martyr for the truth about marriage. Boy, that's relevant nowadays, because if you speak the truth about marriage, one man, one woman, for their entire lives, boy, you might lose your job or even get killed in today's society, just as John the Baptist was beheaded for speaking that truth about marriage in his own day. So, St. John the Baptist, pray for us as we move into Christmas Eve and focusing on the birth of our Lord. Blessed and holy Christmas to all of you. This has been Dr. John Bergsma from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and the Franciscan University of Steubenville.
Thank you for listening to Letters from Home, the Scripture Reflections podcast from the St. Paul Center. Listen daily with reflections from Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. John Bergsma, Dr. Shane Owens, Ms. Joan Watson, and Mr. Clement Harold. Our production team includes technical director Rory Mitrick and producers Olivia Mosier and Joseph Palmer. Our mission at the St. Paul Center is to help you read Scripture from the heart of the church. Subscribe and share Letters from Home, as well as Dr. Scott Hahn's podcast, The Road to Emmaus, and Mrs. Kimberly Hahn's podcast, Beloved and Blessed. For more faith-based resources, books, and Bible studies, visit stpaulcenter.com.